everything's moving so fast, which is a perfect introduction to my next guest, Morris Mizalowski. He's used to living in the fast lane because he's a futurist, and that's where his head is at. Hello, Morris.
Hello, Nicole.
2013, the trends we can expect. Where do we start? What does the year hold for us?
Isn't it just incredible that we're talking about 2013 already?
Oh, no. It's just sad.
Well, it's sad in one way. It's terrific. The alternative is not much better, believe me.
Yes, okay. Glass half full. What's coming our way that we need to embrace?
So, lots and lots of new things ahead. I think that I've put down a list of 13 of the major trends I think we're going to see into next year. And a lot of them are around the issue of the mobile phone or the portability of information, really. We're moving into an era now that most of us take for granted. It's only been about 5 years for most people that they've had this smartphone, and this smartphone does everything for them in their pocket, their handbag, or wherever they carry it. But we really shouldn't take for granted how far it has come and what we're going to see it do for us into next year and beyond. We've got things like NFC, you and I have talked about this before, which is near-field communication. It's the ability of our mobile phone to be able to make little networks between ourselves and something on the shelf of a supermarket or a poster we walk past or a friend that we're going past or the transport. So it sets up little networks between you and whatever it is and then lets you talk, communicate, share, buy, whatever it is you want to do. And I think next year will be the year that we'll see this technology come in. We waited for it on that phone that was put out about a month or so ago. And
That smartphone that has different connections and different SIM cards every time a new version is brought
Isn't
out.
Isn't that incredible?
I'm not bitter.
No, not at all. I can sense that.
Anyway, onwards.
So we're going to see that sort of connectivity. But really what we're getting at into next year and beyond is that we are just drowning in information. There's so much stuff out there that we have access to that really most of us, I should talk for me, I don't know where to begin with it. And what we're going to see into next year, I think, is a whole lot of new apps, a whole lot of new products out there that make it simpler to troll through this variety of information and make it sensible and purposeful for us.
So a Google version for apps, if you like.
I think so, but it's going to be far more than that. And Google's playing in this space, but what we're really seeing is it moving away from websites, which is really what Google does for us most, and moving on to the mobile phones, and it'll be in the form of an app. And we're seeing a whole slew of them opening up now. So there are ones being built for business now, and they're called dashboards, is a fancy word. But what it lets you do is to bring in all sorts of what might be seen to be different information. So it might be things like what your customers are buying from you or returning. It might be social media information. It might be sales reps, the people that you're buying from or selling to. Lots and lots of different pieces of information that might be important. But when you put them together and get a holistic picture, it just becomes powerful with what you can do.
It's really interesting, though, given there are so many portals with which to communicate to someone, Twitter, Facebook, dare I say it, the old-fashioned phone call, that sometimes you miss really important messages because you just can't keep on top of the different ways people are trying to get in touch.
And that's only going to get worse in time. I call that fractured communication, and we've moved into that space over the last couple of years. As you said absolutely rightly, there's no centralized communication anymore. It used to be pick up the phone, or send me a letter, or send me an email, and that was it. But now, as you've said, it can be Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, a myriad of other things, and of course it might still be the old-fashioned phone. And these sorts of new apps and websites that we're seeing bring all of this information together, regardless of where they've come from, and put them into one central spot. But it's not just for business, it really is for everyday consumers as well, because these apps will allow us to bring all our information in from our home or our work or whatever it is that we carry with us, and then will help us to find the world. So we'll be able to go into a shopping centre and find that dress or that pair of slacks that we want that matches the outfit that we have in our home. We'll be able to find our friends that are not too far away and meet up for coffee. We'll be able to find our car when we lose it, which wouldn't be a bad thing because we've forgotten where we put it in the car park. So all of these things will actually come quite naturally to our mobile phone over the next 12, 18, 24 months.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to do with the amount of information. I visualise it as we're all on this planet doing our day-to-day, hopefully as much interfacial stuff as we can, but there's this like cloud of information above us, and that's also the other thing that you, for one of the 13 trends you're talking about for next year, and that is information storage, and we're seeing a lot of that with this cloud technology. Is that, where is this information kept, and is there a finite amount that can be stored with cloud?
Well, the answer to where it's kept is a finely kept secret, because it's really not kept in one place at all. There are huge servers around the planet, and bits and pieces of our information are stored in some of them, and they are stored across many of them. I know that doesn't sound sensible, but that's exactly what it is. So it might pick up a bit of information from a New York server, and a bit from a Tokyo, and a bit from a server held out the back of Manchester in England. And as far as you're concerned, within a split second, it's all on your screen and assembled together. I know it sounds messy, but it's something that's actually not messy, because what it's doing is sharing the information so that if it is lost on one server, and the server simply just a whole lot of computers that are stuck together and they store the information. So for whatever reason, that bunch of computers or that server goes down, it's held somewhere else, so you haven't realised you've lost it at all, and it's just come from another source, so backup works that way.
Yeah, because that's what mobiles are asking now. They're saying, would you like to back this up on your computer, or would you like to back this up on iCloud or the cloud technology.
Yeah, and it would be the worst thing, of course, that if we lost that information, because we're so dependent on it now, regardless of whether our life would continue or not, we feel like it might not if we lost it. So we certainly want to do everything that we can. And whether it's finite, at this stage it seems to be infinite. There seems to be the possibility to store endless amounts of information, because all they do is put together more and more of these servers. But interestingly, with technology, they're actually able to store more with less. So as we move our way down the road, we're actually able to compact that information into a far shorter space, or a far smaller space within the server. And in fact, they need less space to do it. But what it means for you and I, more importantly, is that we can be anywhere at any time. You know, we could be at Pacific Fair, or we could be up at Cairns or wherever. And regardless of where we are, the same information comes down to our phone in the same amount of time. And it always looks like it's stored on our phone or on our laptop or whatever we have. But really it's not. It's stored somewhere else completely.
Morris Mislowski, futurist, we're talking about where we're heading in the year 2013. Hey, Morris, facial and vocal recognition is all the rage. Are we going to see more of that? It's interesting. I always laugh that there are many reasons why we buy a car, but there's one particular car company, and you would have seen the ads, that is their selling point, that you're in your car, not the engine, not reliability, but the fact that you can say to your CD player, play track 19. And that's it. And I think, but people will, because it's new and it's a bit happening, that's their selling point.
Yeah, I find that incredible as well. We're talking about a $3, $4 part inside of a car that's going to cost you $20,000 or $30,000. You're absolutely right. The whole marketing campaign's built around it.
Yeah.
So we're going to see more and more of this. The mouse and the keyboard, I said for a while, is very old. I mean, we will be using it for another 4, 5, 6 years, and it will always be around in some format. But increasingly, we're going to use pointing, we're going to use gesturing, swiping, we're going to use our face, our voice, our eyes, all kinds of things to be able to determine, this is us, let us in to the phone or to the ATM machine or the computer at home or whatever it is that we want to have access to.
Okay, are there any very, very interesting trends that I haven't brought up with you? Oh, what about printers?
Yeah.
3D printers.
Yeah. So 3D printers have been around for a little while, but next year they're certainly set to make it into mainstream. Now, a 3D printer to me is the love child of, remember the Star Trek where we beam me up, Scotty?
Yeah, yeah.
And we kind of disappeared and reappeared somewhere else. It's the love child of that and a fax machine. So we can now produce something from an item somewhere else. So what we do is we take an item, it might be a glass, it might be some clothing that you wear, it could be food, it can be an artery or a heart or a kidney. Really, the range is just so wide and we're only just beginning to understand it. We make an exact digital replica of that at one end. And of course that doesn't disappear, so the physical object remains where it started from, but the image is then transmitted to another 3D fax machine across the planet, and that is then reassembled on the other side of the world, or the other side of the studio, or whatever, exactly as it left. So if you've sent the image of a glass that you'll drink from, with all of its blemishes, and maybe it's got a pattern on it or something, the exact same glass will be reproduced in glass at the other end of the machine. In glass, absolutely. And you'll be able to drink from it within a couple of minutes. So it makes an exact, purposeful, useful replica of whatever it is you've sent across in that other machine.
And you're saying these will be happening in 2013?
Well, we can already do them. Hasbro, the kids manufacturer, has one to make plastic toys for under $300. HP has one for about $1,800, so we're already starting to see them in our mass market. The high-end ones are still a couple of $1 million. We're still years away from making it really purposeful and everyday, but we can certainly begin to buy them now, and you'd be surprised how many industries are beginning to use them, especially around manufacturing, prototyping, and those sorts. Mm. We've got education institutions that are now teaching it, so within engineering, manufacturing, it's already part of the curriculum, how to use these things purposefully. And it's going to be something that will grow. One of the large chains in America that deals with stationery has announced in the last week that they are putting 3D printers into a variety of their stores around the states in anticipation of people's desire to be able to print whatever it is that they want.
Hold on to your seats. We're going into the future. Maurice Wizolowski, thank you.
A pleasure as always.
And here's hoping 2013 doesn't overwhelm us and it provides some things that are going to make life a bit easier.
And also that it's peaceful and joyful.
Oh, bring it on.
Absolutely.
Thanks.